Welcome back to the Big Green Politics Podcast. I'm Sedan.
And I'm Julia. As you may know, the European elections took place last week from the 23rd to the 26th of May. 28 countries cast their votes on who should represent them in the European Parliament.
As many were hoping, the green wave is not stopping. It has just swept across Europe, and there's a lot to unpack.
For some reason, no one was expecting this result, even though it's been decades long in the making.
Yes, so sit back and relax while we keep banging on about the green wave and analyze what went right and what went wrong at the elections. Okay, so last week, like we said, more than 400 million Europeans in 28 member states were called to the ballot box over 4 days to elect the new members of the European Parliament, which is the EU's only directly elected body. From the 23rd to 26th, not everything was like, yay, European democracy, Europe, values, glitter, glitter.
As it always is, obviously.
Yeah, for me it is. What are you saying?
For you as a long-time European citizen.
Exactly. A total EU citizen. But yeah, some people in different countries were denied to vote for different reasons. And I think I need to identify where I'm coming from when I make this criticism about European democracy. Mm-hmm. As a non-EU woman of color currently living in an EU country, I want this to be a bit of a reality check that is provided to those Europeans who just obsessively talk about European values, who constantly criticize non-EU governments, and for some reason, they tend to avoid looking at what's going on at home here in Europe. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that this is our audience, but I think if we talk about this kind of issues on the podcast, and if the members of our audience talk about it too, then maybe we can have them as a part of mainstream political debates. Mm-hmm. Like from this perspective.
Yeah.
And also, I know that it's good to acknowledge what's working in a system within European democracy. But if you think with European democracy, nothing can go wrong, you'll probably stop criticizing the system, stop critically thinking about it, hence never get better, and also will never be able to stop what's preventable from happening, just like what happened in these elections. Mm-hmm. So cutting to the chase. Like I said, many people from different countries were denied to vote. One of those communities was Romanians living in other EU countries. So they were expected to vote in both the European elections and on a national referendum on anti-corruption laws on the 26th Sunday. But thousands of Romanian diaspora members ended up not being able to vote and started protesting outside embassies and polling stations across Europe after long hours queuing and waiting in the line. So this is not only just a few cities in Europe. Like, this was the case in The Hague, London, Brussels, Luxembourg, Dublin, Geneva, Munich, Madrid. It was just all around Europe. And of course, social media was flooded with videos from Romanians showing just queues and lines extending for several blocks in cities.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Yes, so they weren't able to cast their votes even after waiting for like 7 or 8 hours in front of embassies.
Shit.
But what went wrong was, like I said, they were going to vote for two things, right? But the details about those two votes had to be written by hand on two different lists. And in the morning, they realized, oh, like, we're going really slow with this detail writing thing, so we should get a few extra people to help out. Some extra people got authorized to help with that writing, but that didn't help that much at all because, you know, it was, like, the afternoon already.
Yeah.
So there was simply much more people who wanted to vote than they could handle and they were prepared for. But the other problem was the authorities at those embassies had no say in any decision that they could take to make the situation better, to change the situation. So every single idea that they came up with had to go through the Romanian authorities back in the capital. And the polls were open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so you have only 12 hours to vote anyway. So, of course, no decision was taken on the spot or quickly. And what's worse than that is the opposition parties actually requested for polling hours to be extended abroad.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that was turned down by the authorities back in Romania. And not only that, but they also said all the ballot stations are functional and operate normally.
Wow. So how many people ended up not being able to vote then?
We don't have the exact numbers for that, but keep in mind that the Romanian diaspora is one of the biggest communities in the EU countries.
Mm-hmm.
As many as 3.4 million Romanians have fled the country since it joined the EU in 2007.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
The figure represents 17% of the country's total population living in other EU countries. And this is unprecedented anywhere in Europe during peacetime.
Wow.
But what's special when it comes to this case is it had a referendum too. And if you know anything about politics in Romania, you know that a referendum on anti-corruption, that is important. Because that's one of the major main issues that they deal with on a daily basis.
Yes. And people are really, really, really invested in this issue. And
they're fed up with it.
They're so fed up. They've been out on the streets so many times.
Yeah. And we've covered this on a podcast too.
Mm-hmm.
So this referendum was called by the Romanian president, who is the ex-leader of the opposition party. And he called a referendum because of the government's controversial justice reforms. The critics say if they get the reforms passed, this will hand impunity to politicians convicted of graft offenses.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that the elections included this referendum too.
Right.
But it's known that the Romanian diaspora never votes for the Socialist Party, which is in power in Romania at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And who is the one trying to pass this law that would make corruption offenses easier to do, right?
Exactly. And like, that was exactly the result that we got on Sunday. Around 80% of voters rejected this amnesty proposals in the referendum. And this is the general, not only the diaspora, but the whole country.
What do you mean rejected what? Because you didn't say what the referendum, what the question was.
So they basically rejected the controversial justice reform that was proposed by the government.
Oh, okay, to make corruption more easy to do.
Yes, exactly. Okay. The amnesty, the impunity.
Okay.
Justice reform. Yeah. And the Romanian diaspora contributed to the referendum's overwhelming result with 3% of the total number of the votes.
Mm.
Even though they had to, you know, deal with all of that.
Mm.
When it comes to the European elections results, the Socialist Party obtained only 4% of the votes outside Romania.
Wow.
So, like, they knew that they would get this much.
Yeah, yeah.
And the two leading pro-European parties each attracted over 30% of votes from Romanian expats living in European countries. Say negligence, say intentional. This happens every single time. This is not the first time that this happened. Like, the same thing happened in 2014 elections too.
Mm-hmm.
So this could have been overseen and prevented. But why would the government, the party in power, would do that knowing that they're not going to get votes from this one community? It's dodgy, isn't it?
And just the day after the election on Monday, we saw the jailing of Livio Dragnea, who's the exact same leader of this Social Democrat Party that's been trying to pass these reforms that would make corruption easier for politicians, right?
And grant them amnesty and impunity.
Uh-huh. So at least that shows that some checks and balances in Romania are still working and that maybe the referendum result had some impact already.
Exactly. Another thing that I wanted to mention, and this is the last thing about what happened to Romanians on the election day, is how certain member states dealt with what was happening. Like in the Netherlands, the Dutch armed police with dogs were called in to disperse Romanians who couldn't vote at their embassy.
Wow. Bloody hell.
This is why I said not everything was like, yay, European democracy, Euro values, glitter, glitter.
If you're enjoying this episode, check out our previous news episodes about green politics around the world, and also our interviews with green politicians, activists, and experts.
So this one community not being able to vote, and pretty much everyone knows which direction their vote is going to go, right? This didn't only happen to Romanians. A similar thing happened in the UK as well. On Thursday, EU nationals went to the polls and they were denied a vote. Despite the fact that most of them actually were registered to vote in local elections that took place just a few weeks ago, when they went to the polls on Thursday, some of them couldn't vote, saying that they had to register for this, for the European elections as well. They were given three reasons. One was councils failing to communicate with EU citizens about a second form. The second reason was councils not sending out the forms to people who requested them on time. And the third is the councils failing to register the forms when they were received. And the forms that I'm talking about is the forms that EU nationals who live in the UK, they need to submit. These forms known as a UC1 or EC6 to be able to participate in European elections. And through submitting these forms, they basically make a written declaration saying that they will not vote in their home country and they will vote where they live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is really, that's different treatment to what we were getting as UK citizens, because if you're registered already in a local election, you don't have to do anything else to vote in the EU one.
And keep in mind, in addition to the local elections, this is the only election they had a right to participate in. So that means they couldn't vote in the Brexit referendum, which affect them massively, or the general elections, of course. But the EU nationals in the UK going through another step to be able to participate in the European elections, that constitutes multiple breaches of EU treaties.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Article 20 of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union, which states that EU nationals have, quote, the right to vote under the same conditions as nationals of that state of residence, end of quote.
Huh.
So that means if EU citizens are being asked to fill out additional forms that UK nationals are not asked to do so, that is discrimination. That is a large-scale, systematic denial of that right.
Yeah.
So that treaty and the article I mentioned had direct effect. So citizens can just go straight to court.
Wow, amazing. And I heard that there's a group of them that are gathering together and that have crowdfunding to take this case together to court.
Exactly. The organization is called the 3 Million, which campaigns for the rights of EU citizens after Brexit and also with British and Europe.
Mm.
I think it was on Saturday they launched a crowdfunding campaign to finance the legal case. And if this has happened to you, then you can do a few things, like signing a change.org petition about this, or writing to the organization I just mentioned, or supporting their crowdfunding campaign. And we'll just put all this info and the links into the description of this episode, and we will also provide all this info on our Twitter page at Big Green Pop Pod. Yes, and you'll hear all about that fight right here on this podcast. All right, folks, that's our show. You can follow us and show us some love on Twitter at Big Green Pop Pod. You can find us on any podcast apps, iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud.
And if you want to help us make green politics more accessible, subscribe and support us by leaving us a rating or a review. Thank you so much, and see you soon.